So we're continuing our study in the book of Romans. So we did an introduction last week, and this week we're going to actually start chapter 1, and we're going to see how Paul loved the gospel. Paul loved the gospel. And in chapter 1, we'll just do verses 1 through 17. Paul wanted the Romans to have that same love for the gospel. And yet, he wasn't able to be with them. And his email wasn't working. So, what do you do when your email doesn't work? Well, you pray that the post office delivers your letter. So he actually found a person, a Christian, to deliver this letter. And so he wanted the Romans to have the same love for the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for your sins. He's buried, he was buried, and now he's alive. So he's trying to have them catch that. And of course, now the letter's for you and me. And so what Paul wanted to give the Romans, and I'll just put a picture up here, what Paul wanted to give the Romans, really, God wants to give to you. He wants to give you a love for the good news of Jesus Christ. It was everything to Paul. It was like his life. His life was the gospel. And so this is what we're going to do today. We are going to read verses 1 through 17 and see Paul's love for the gospel, see Paul's desire, his wish that the Romans would have a love for the gospel, but then we're going to go through verses in the book where Paul talks about the gospel. So we'll get the big picture from the book too. So for Paul, life is all about the gospel. So, what is your life all about? What is your life all about? And he, of course, told the Romans. He said, you Christians in Rome, they were Christians, right? But as a Christian, I still have to raise my family. I still have to go to work. And yet, even though I do all those other things, I have to say, well, what is my life about? And when you're a student, you're so busy studying. And probably most of your time is devoted to being in class or preparing for class. And yet, your life does not have to be about school, even though your time is mostly about school. So he's talking to Christians in Rome, so of course they're called Romans. And he says, I want your life to be about the gospel. Now we have this letter. And so here is you and me. I should just put us. Anyway, it won't erase. You and me. If you and I are believers, what is our life about? So let's think about that, and we'll go through the passage. I hope you can read it if your eyes aren't good enough to read it. A little bigger here. Then, all right, let's start doing some reading. I want to show you a trick though. Okay? Because when you're a student, you have to be able to read and get the main point, right? That makes reading easy. Paul, start up here. Paul, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. That's basically it, with all that stuff in the middle there. All this stuff in the middle here. He's starting in verse 1. Paul, and then he says a bunch of things. Then he says, he ends this sentence really with, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. So that's the whole idea with, it's like a cake with a frosting on the top. And then there's all this stuff on the inside. So let's look at this. Paul, a bondservant or slave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And so right there you can see his life was about the good news that Jesus died for his sins, that Jesus was buried, but then that Jesus came alive, because Jesus pays for sin, doesn't he? But then Jesus not only pays for your sin, he also delivers you from sin and delivers you into life. And that's the resurrection side of the message. And so Paul was set apart. God set him apart. Paul, I want your life to be about the gospel. So he set apart for the gospel, which, in other words, which gospel he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David, according to the flesh, who was declared, that's Jesus, who Jesus was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom, through Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also, you Romans, are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's Paul about his excitement for the gospel. And now he says to them, I want your life to be about the gospel. And so this is good reading for us here. Let's see if I can get this up here. Get all of it. Yes, we got all of it together. All right. Don't worry about catching every word, because we're going to go back and talk about this, okay? So that was the introduction. Now first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Remember I said, he's not writing to people who don't know Jesus. He's writing to Christians, and they're young Christians. Their church isn't really put together yet, and they need help. And so Paul is writing them to help them. And he says, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world, for God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his son, is my witness how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. And you can see I've got all these gray marks. See the gray there? Paul said, I wish so much I could visit you. And yet he was unable to do that. Let me help us see this. We don't need to see all that stuff. Okay. If perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you, for I long to see you to impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. His desire is, I want you established in your love for the gospel. And that is that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians. And so the Gentiles are everyone who's not Jewish. All right, so God divided the world into the Jewish nation. which is alive today, Israel. And then all the other nations, he called them Gentiles. But within the Gentiles, some of them had a lot of book learning. They were smart, they were educated. And those were the Greeks, and the Greeks influenced the Romans. And then the others, they're called the barbarians. Both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. And what he's saying here is, I want to make the gospel clear to you as a Christian. They're already saved. To be saved, all you do is learn that you are a sinner and that your sin must be punished, and you go, oh no, I don't want to die. And then God says, well, you don't have to. My son died for you on the cross. You go, oh, what do I do? And the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So what do you do if a gift is paid for? Well, you believe the giver and you take the gift. And that's exactly what they did, and that's what I must do to be a Christian. But I need really to understand this so that I can share it with others, so that I never go away from this message. Christianity is pretty simple, and we want this gospel to be the center of our lives, and that's what Paul's communicating to them. So he says, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome, even though they were Christians. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Well, that's not too much. That's our essential reading for today here. And now I want to think about, first of all, Paul's life is about the gospel. Why is Paul's life all about the gospel? Well, because God set him apart. In other words, when Paul was a little boy, before he even knew the Lord Jesus, God was putting things in his life so that one day when Jesus was revealed to him, and for Paul it was like a light from heaven, you go, whoa. And once he saw the Lord Jesus, everything in his life up to that point suddenly made sense. You know, God's given you the perfect parents. God has given you the perfect life before you trust Jesus. Even if it was you may have had a hard and terrible life, but somehow that life prepared you to come to the Lord Jesus and to be able to talk to people that I never could talk to. Every one of us has a unique, that's different. Every one of us has a unique and different background that as God sets you apart to hear about the Lord Jesus, he sets you apart to talk about the Lord Jesus and talk about the gospel. And so Paul was set apart for the gospel of God. And now he tells us three things. I'm going to say three things here about the gospel. First of all, number one is right there. He sets people apart as servants. When I say you're set apart, why did God pick you to be saved? So that you could serve him. There's not one Christian in the world who's just saved to be a Christian. Every Christian is saved to be a servant. And God's given you unique, that's special gifts or abilities, so that you can be a servant for the Lord and reach different people. So what do we know about the gospel? Well, the gospel calls people to be missionaries. Even if you never leave your home, calls you to be servants. And then second of all, the gospel, although it's new, Jesus was born in, I don't know what year it is, let's say 0 AD, right between everything before and everything after, something new happened. God became a man, right? And yet, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, before Jesus was born, about the gospel. But in a way, so we don't totally get it. We get it now, but the Jewish people who got the gospel before Jesus came didn't put the pieces together. I mean, we are special. Imagine getting from God the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, where it says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity, that's my sin, the iniquity of us all. And looking at that and going, who's him? I'm a sinner. All of us like sheep have gone astray. I got that part. But yet in history, all of us like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord, God the Father, has laid the iniquity of us all on God the Son. And a Jewish person before Jesus would read that and say, what's he talking about? And they would walk away confused. Nobody, I don't think, here is confused about that today. Jesus came. I'm a sinner. My sin was put on Jesus. And the first verse in Isaiah 53, and Paul's going to quote it in a minute here, who has believed our report? And he's saying, all you have to do is believe the message or the report. And God gives you this salvation as a free gift. And so this is very exciting because, you know, people come up with new religions. And they want to say, I found something new. There's Mormons. It's a new religion. There's Jehovah Witnesses. It's a new religion. And so when Christianity comes, is it a new religion? No, it's exactly what the Bible said would happen. The Bible said the Savior would come into the world. His own people would say no, and then the message would go to the whole world. And here we are, the whole world. We're on the other side of the earth from where Jesus died. And so, what about the gospel? Well, it calls missionaries, and it was promised in the Old Testament. And then I love this one. It's all about the Lord Jesus. You see, concerning his son, what's the gospel about? It's all about the Lord Jesus. I had friends who got saved, and for them, Christianity was all about speaking in tongues, and all about miracles, and all about things that were in their imagination. And they just believed the gospel and just left it. They left it for things that are secondary and passing things. In Christianity, if you are a real born-again Christian, you never get beyond Jesus Christ. What is the gospel about? Well, the gospel is about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. All right, so three lessons on the gospel. Gospel sets apart people to give the gospel to others. Secondly, the gospel is set up in the Old Testament for it to happen when Jesus comes. And then thirdly, it's all about the Lord Jesus. You know what? I got another 1, 2, 3. Can you handle another 1, 2, 3 here? Another 1, 2, 3 is if you look at the points here, it says, okay, the gospel is all about concerning his son, but then look at this. Paul, it's like he's a preacher. He's making 3 points. Oh, I've got another 3-point message to give you here. And Paul says, look, the gospel is all about the Lord Jesus. It never leaves the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, that the gospel is built on the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And the Lord Jesus is a man, right? Number one, God became a man. To do something God could not do. What can't God do? And he can't lie, but he can't die either, can he? God is absolutely not only undying, he's, we'll make up a word here, undiable. He's undiable. He can't die. And so the gospel about his son, what we learn is he's a descendant of David. That means that David was his great-great-great-grandfather. Descendant means he comes down from David. Ascend means goes up. And so he's actually born from a real man, and he is a real man. And so according to the flesh, so the gospel is about Jesus, and Jesus is a real man.
Could a goat die for your sins? I like goats, don't you? They're very tasty. But you know what they can't do? They can make you fat. But they can't take away sins. I like angels. I've never seen an angel, but they're invisible. But you know what? An angel can do a lot of things for you. An angel actually strengthened Jesus while he was praying in the garden before he went to the cross. Another angel actually strengthened Jesus after his 40 days fasting, not eating in the wilderness. And they can do a lot of things, but you know what? Angels cannot die for your sins. Only a man can die for men, but it has to be a perfect man. And so when we say the gospel's all about Jesus, it's all about Jesus, who's the man who was declared the Son of God. And now we have more information about the Lord Jesus Christ. When we say Son of God, we're saying that he's God the Son. That's an easier way. So if you guys are studying hard, you know that we call this the humanity of Christ. You see the word human in that. And we call this the deity, that Jesus is God. So you'll hear that word. If you hear that word, you go, oh, that's Jesus is God. Well, I understand. In the gospel, it's all about Jesus. Why does Jesus have to be a man? Easy, so he can die, but he has to be perfect. There can be no sin in him. Well, then he also has to be God, because he has to offer up a payment that will pay an eternal penalty, right? How much does sin cost? The wages of sin is eternal death. In fact, there's another verse that actually uses eternal. It says, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. So even one perfect man couldn't pay for every sin, could he? A perfect man dying for another person might be able to pay for one man's sin. But if God becomes a man on the cross, he can offer up how much value? Well, all the value that God makes him. He can offer up and pay an eternal payment. Isn't that exciting? Do you ever think, wow, if I trust Jesus as my Savior, what about the sins that I'm going to commit next year? Some people, they put off baptism because they think, I might sin. I don't want to get baptized and then keep sinning. Well, how many sins did Jesus actually pay for? Every sin. Even the people who will never trust Jesus as Savior, he died for the world. So he paid for your sins yesterday. He paid for your sins today. And maybe you'll say a bad word to me later. And he paid for that sin in the future. Every sin. Till the day you die. That's why Jesus could say, it is finished, right? It is finished means he really finished it. And so only God can offer up that kind of payment.
And so that was proven in the resurrection. And so we learn this second amazing thing about the Lord Jesus. It says, a gospel is all about his son. He's a man. He's also God. And the Lord Jesus said in one of the gospels, he says, if I lay down my life, that means if I die, I will raise it up again. Now, God is going to raise your body from the dead one day. One day, your body, the grave, is going to give up your body. But you are not going to raise your own body from the dead. God is going to do it. Jesus said, I'm going to raise my own body from the dead. The resurrection proved what Jesus taught, that he is God. He is God Jehovah. And so, now we have... I didn't number these. Oh, I numbered them up here. Okay, so he is man, he is God, and my problem with work. What is your problem with work? My problem with work is when I finish a job, I want to sit down and say, okay, I quit. Now, when Jesus finished a job on the cross, he said, it is finished. And it actually said he sat down. It said he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He sat down. But the next time we see Jesus in the book of Acts, he's standing up in heaven and he's receiving the first Christian who dies, who prays, Father, into your hands. So Father, he says, receive my spirit. That's what he said, Stephen. The Lord Jesus is still working. And the gospel is all about Jesus because it's not about a dead man who came to life. It's about the Lord Jesus who's living and he's still working. And what does it say about him still working here? He's still working and he's giving out grace. An apostleship. He's sending out workers and he's doing it to bring about not just faith, but what? Not just faith, but what does that say? Obedience of faith. Here would be my concern. You learn that Jesus died for your sins. You accept the fact, yes, I'm bad and I deserve hell. And Jesus died for me. But you never obey the message by trusting the Savior. Lord Jesus, I receive you. I trust you. That's obedience to the gospel. Doesn't mean that you obey and be a good boy or obey and be a good girl. You're obeying the message. And the message says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Obedience to the message is believing and receiving Jesus as Savior. And so the Lord is working in heaven so that people will obey this faith. And he says, among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you are the called of Jesus Christ. Now, I thought this was cool. What did Paul say about himself at the beginning of this message? Well, again, I have to get a color here we haven't used. I'm going to highlight that. I'm sorry about this. Oops, where'd it go? Oh, it's right up here. Because of the gospel, Paul was called. Paul was called by God to be something, to be an apostle. And because of the gospel, I'm looking, the Romans, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. The Romans also were called. He's saying, you're called to the same message. You're called to the same life. And that's very exciting. You know what else I like about this? I mean, just focus on... Just focus on this verse. To all who are beloved of God, if you trust Jesus as Savior, do you ever write on Facebook, nobody loves me, my boyfriends left me, my dog died, and my parents won't speak to me, I don't know what I'm going to do. Guess what? David said, if my father and mother forsake me, God will hold me up. God will take me up. And it's the same thing here, where I lost it. How would you like to be loved by someone for the rest of your life who will never leave you or never forsake you? And that's what he's saying. He says, when you're called of Jesus Christ, you Romans, and of course now us here, when you are called because you've trusted Jesus as Savior, God gives you this calling, and it's a call to the love of God. You see loved in there. And B, we be loved. Beloved of God in Rome, but there's more than that. I gotta get my green marker out. Being called by God to be loved by God for the rest of eternity is also a calling for what? Saints. My goodness, when I grew up, we had pictures in our windows. There was Matthew, there was Mark, there was Luke, there was John, there was George, and they were all saints.
Yeah.
It's like if you looked at the windows in our church, you thought maybe there was 12 saints in Christianity. What is a saint? The word saint means someone who is holy or someone who's set apart. God calls every Christian a saint because Jesus Christ makes you holy. When you trust Jesus as Savior, God doesn't just take away your sins and then say, try to do good. God makes you holy so that he can see in your life his own holiness and you're set apart. So if you say, I don't know if I'm saved or I don't know if I'm good enough, who are you questioning? You're questioning God's ability. If God says you're holy and you say, I don't know if I'm holy or not, you're not questioning yourself, you're questioning God. Every bit of your holiness has to rest in Jesus. Does that make sense? All of my holiness comes from Jesus. And so, called of Jesus Christ, called as saints, and grace to you and peace. So Jesus is still working, calling people to himself. And he's calling people, he's making them saints, he's making them workers, and he's calling them to the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul's prayer for the Romans is that they would be established. And we've already pointed out here that he's writing because he can't come to them right now. God has stopped him. Now he's hoping, and he will get to them. He will get to them. He'll be a prisoner. He will be arrested in Jerusalem, and he'll sit in jail for years, and finally they'll get him on a boat and ship him to Rome. And he'll come back to Rome as a prisoner. That's the next time. So this is a very important letter. And so he says, I want you established, he says, because I want to tell you some things about the gospel. He says, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to go right here. Let's look at the gospel everywhere now in the book of Romans. Just a quick look. Okay, I think we got the idea that Paul's life was about the gospel. He wants their life to be about the gospel, and therefore he wants my life to be about the gospel. Well, I just went through the whole book and found all the times he talks about the gospel. All the times he talks about the gospel. And of course, we've already looked at this one. The relationship of God to Paul here is that he has the gospel of God. Alright, the good news that saves you, it's about God, and it's from God. And then, we've already looked at this, the relationship of Paul to God here is that he serves God. Because of the gospel, he serves God. And I was hung up on this. He serves God in his spirit. I have to confess that when I worked for Mr. Micro Repair, fixing appliances and fixing microwaves and fixing washing machines, sometimes my heart was not in it. I was just happy to get to the end of the day. Have you ever felt that about work? I'll just be happy to get to the end of the day. Now that's serving with your body, isn't it? You're giving the company your body. And that's all you need to give the company. Your company wants your body until it's too weak to do anything, and then they retire you. All right? But God wants your body, your soul, and your spirit. And so I said, wow, he says, I serve in my spirit. Paul doesn't just go through the motions of telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at how he serves. Always in my prayers, making requests. He is praying. There's something behind Paul's teaching. There's something behind Paul's letters. And that is, he is before God. Just like Jesus, before he goes to the cross, he's praying. And he's sweating, as it were, drops of blood. Paul's work for the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, it was in body. He says, my body has scars on it from the beatings I've gotten. He says, I've been hungry and starved for days because of my service for the Lord Jesus. I've been shipwrecked. I've been left dead. His body was a mess because he gave his body in service for the Lord Jesus. But you know, people give their body to sports. And at the end of your sports career, your knees are shot, your shoulders are shot, and usually a lot more. You're just plain tired. And what do you have? But service for the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, momentary light afflictions are producing in us an eternal weight of glory. Serving God in your spirit is actually producing eternal benefit. So don't, for me, this is, I'm preaching to myself now, because I get up and teach like almost every week. And it would be easy just to say something, right? It would be harder to be before God and say, what should I say, and pray for everyone and make it a service of God in the Spirit. So maybe you're a Sunday school teacher, or you're going to school and you know you're going to talk to people about the Lord Jesus. Serve God in your spirit, and serve the gospel in your spirit. Okay, does that make sense? Now, what is Paul's attitude towards preaching the gospel? This again is in, I hope we get out of chapter 1, but this is still in 1:14. He says, I'm under obligation. What does that mean? Easy words, I have to do it. Paul's thoughts about the gospel is, I have to tell people about the Lord Jesus. It's my job, it's my duty. Jesus died for me, I owe it to him. It is my obligation to talk to you about Jesus Christ. It is your obligation to talk to your classmates about the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not where it ends. What does he say here? Oops, I just messed it up. Can you still read it? Sorry. Okay. I'm going to try to get eager. I'm eager. What does eager mean? It means you can't hold me back. I'm thrilled. I really, really want to do this. So Paul, yes, he's obligated, but he's also eager about preaching the gospel, because he's not ashamed of the gospel. Now in Paul's day, and a little bit in our day, to talk about a man who died as the power of God, people laughed when he gave the message. And the Jewish people said, no, no, the Messiah is the powerful, powerful person of God and the Savior of God. And the Gentiles wanted someone who was strong. And Paul goes about preaching a dying Savior. And so I had a phone call. You never phone call. Okay. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed about the crucifixion. I'm not ashamed that God became a man
And the Bible says he humbled himself. Never be ashamed about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his attitude. Yes, I have to do it. And I am eager to do it because of the wonderful gift I got. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And the reason he wasn't ashamed is that the gospel is the power of God. There is no other power that saves men and women from sin except the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That's it. So that's his attitude towards, you can talk about a lot of things with people, but the only power that will bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I like this one too, and I don't know if we'll get through each of these, but you know that God will judge people, that there's a day that God has appointed through Jesus Christ to judge the world. He has judgment for saved people, he has judgment for unsaved people. Saved people go to heaven, but he judges, rewards deeds that were worthwhile. Unsaved people go to hell, but he judges their deeds too. And God will judge the secrets of men. How? Well, really, it's what have you done with Jesus Christ? All the judgment of God is based on the good news of Jesus Christ. What if a person refuses Jesus Christ, but says, I live a very good life? God should accept me. God will look at the secrets of their heart, won't he? He'll look at your secret thoughts, where you've sinned on the inside, and you thought, no one saw that. And he's saying, but the good news would have saved you from your secret sins. Oh. So one day, everything in life, in the entire universe, will be viewed by God as he examines the works of every person throughout history. It will be viewed through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The good news. The gospel. Okay. We have got chapters 10 and 11. Now we're in chapters 10 and 11. Do you know the Jewish people really didn't accept this? And the Jewish people are the people of God. Why didn't God's own people, when God became a man, just like the Bible said would happen, you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So it was pretty obvious in the Old Testament that God would become a man and that he would be the Savior, but the Jewish people said no. John says he came to his own, but those who were his own did not receive him. You go, well, did they know something? Because they're the people of God. Why didn't they trust Jesus Christ as Savior? And he says, well, maybe no one was sent to them. Well, that's not true, because Paul said he goes to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that was the pattern. Always started in the Jewish places of worship when they preached, and then they went to the Gentiles. So, yeah, and then he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, that's the gospel, of good things. And he is quoting Isaiah 52:7. And he says, well, there's, you know, a lot of beautiful feet came to Israel to bring them the gospel. He says, however, they did not all obey the gospel. And this is very important. I'm thankful for the some of the Jewish people who trusted the Lord Jesus. Why? Because a Jewish man, Matthew, wrote the book of Matthew. A Jewish man, Mark, wrote the gospel of Mark. A Jewish man, Luke, I mean, he was the Gentile in the group. A Jewish man, John, wrote the gospel of John. Paul wrote the 13 books, a Jewish saved man. I'm thankful for some, the very few of the Jewish people who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what they did not all obey the gospel, and Isaiah says this is just what the Old Testament is saying would happen. Lord, who has believed our report? It's said ahead of time. The Jewish people are not as a group at the beginning going to receive Jesus as Savior. Other passages say one day they're going to go, oh, we blew it. And then as a nation, they're going to look up and they're going to see the person whom they pierced and hung on the cross, and they're going to believe in him and be saved. So he says, what about the gospel and Jewish people? So Paul gives a perspective here. He says, from the standpoint of the gospel that we're presenting now, they are enemies. This doesn't mean you go hunt and kill people. This means they are separated from God. Although some believe. So you keep presenting the gospel. Keep presenting the gospel. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they're beloved. God made promises to the first Jewish man, Abraham, that the Savior would come through him. God made promises to the first Jewish man, Abraham, that he would give him a land, a nation, make a nation out of him. All those promises have to come true because God can't lie. Well, that's a good place to stop. We have more gospel information in the book of Romans, but we're going to stop there. The book of Romans is all about the gospel. The Jewish people will one day eagerly accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus, but they're not believing today, but it's not because God's word does not come true. It's because it does come true. God wants my life and your life to be about the Lord Jesus, about his gospel. First, have you believed the gospel? Have you obeyed the gospel by trusting Jesus as your Savior? It's a decision, isn't it? It's a decision. What will you do with the Lord Jesus? I read something Paul wrote. It was as if he was standing in God's behalf and offering Jesus Christ and saying, will you have God's Son to be your Savior from sin? It's your only hope. So I would say the same thing today. If you do not have this gospel, you do not know your sins are forgiven. On behalf of God, I say right now, will you receive this man who is alive, who offers to give you eternal life, who has already paid for those sins, past, present, and future? Will you have this man to be your Savior? Don't answer me. Answer God right now. And answer him today. And when you do, you can say, I'm called, beloved, I'm a saint, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful calling. Let's pray.